listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for coming back for part two of the Indian Wells preview podcast. Ed McGrogan here with Steve Tigner. Today, the men's draw, which was made a day after the women's draw, also the event itself starts a day later than the women's event does. Steve, just from a top level perspective, you and I were, you know, glancing at this draw, of course, and you noticed something that is perhaps obvious when you say it, but it actually hasn't happened in a little while. So I'll let you reveal that.
Yeah, it feels like a return, you know, a return to the past. I think this is the first time. I'm not sure the last time that the top four, the big four, were the top four seeds, and you know, it really gives the draw a sense of order that the men's draws at Slams and Masters haven't had for a little while, as those guys have sort of gone up and down in the last couple of years. You know, Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, Murray, those are the top four seeds. Each has their section, and somehow that just makes sense. You know, the next four feel like, you know, that feels they're in the right spot too. So this almost feels like, you know, Indian Wells always feels like a new start, a new season. But this time you'd have to say it's a new season with that really feels like a return, you know, a return to the past for, you know, at least at the beginning.
Yeah, you know, of those four guys, because you know you're going to be out there next week, and presumably all four of those gentlemen should still be hanging around and swinging rackets by the time you get there. You know, which of those four perhaps interests you the most of this tournament? Not necessarily who needs to win it or who, you know, has the most at stake, but, you know, which of the big four at this, you know, at early March, you know, based on what's happened, seems to interest you the most?
I guess I'd start by saying that it's, you know, besides all four of them being in the top four positions, each seems to be in a pretty good place. You know, Djokovic is number one. Federer has just won in Dubai. Nadal just won in South America. Murray had a good weekend at Davis Cup. You know, none of them are injured. All of them seem sort of ready to progress. I would say the one of those four that's the most interesting going forward to me is Nadal. You know, 2 years ago he came back here, made a comeback, won in Indian Wells, and then really almost ran the table the rest of the season. I don't know if I expect that to happen again, but I feel like this tournament, which he likes a lot and is on a slow hard court, which he likes, has, you know, a lot of times been a, you know, kind of bellwether for him. It's kind of shown where he's gonna, you know, it's been a place where he's turned things around or shown that he's on the way to turning things around. So we'll, you know, that just seeing where he is and where he ends up at the end of this tournament will be interesting.
Yeah, and I think you can't think of Rafa in this without, you know, like you're saying, when he, I believe it was 2 years ago, was, you know, he came back and really, I didn't think the expectations were very high going into Indian Wells, and he went on after an absence and won that, and that really pretty much started an almost invincible run through the U.S. Open. And so, you know, the point about Nadal and this tournament, I think, can't be understated. So, you know, maybe we should actually just start with his quarter of the draw. This is actually the second half of the draw, the third quarter. And, you know, see what Rafa really has in front of him. He's going to get, you know, among all the seeds, get biased. He'll have some, you know, it seems like quite a bit of time to get accustomed to, you know, the hard courts. First of all, he is coming off of clay, which you can't say that for a lot of the other top seeds. But, you know, Rafa picking up a title, reaching another final, and not a recent final, but he gets, you know, his draw on the whole does not look terribly imposing, at least his, you know, his little half of that quarter. You know, the rest of it is with some players who I think we have some question about, you know, along the lines of some of the other questions we have. Dimitrov, Kyrgios, Raonic, all very, you know, all very strong players and all who have shown something, you know, something pretty well in the past 12 months for sure. But a lot of them have questions. This whole quarter may be a quarter filled with questions, really, is how I look at it.
Yeah, I think Nadal has a good draw. You know, he's the second seed here is Raonic. It's a tough opponent, but he wouldn't face him until the quarters if he has to. The first two, you know, the three seeds in his half of this quarter are Chardy, Gasquet, and Simon. You know, he rarely lost of any of those guys.
Simone, I think, is the only one, you know, just purely because of the style of play that would seem to perhaps, you know, infuriate Rafa enough to Simone was on his best day. But, you know,
yeah,
points well taken.
He could give him some trouble. But I think this is a good, you know, I don't think you can ask for much of a better section for him.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, with the other three guys, I think I'm curious to see how all of them perform. You know, certainly I think the most interesting is perhaps Dimitrov. I don't say that whatsoever because of his win over Federer last night at Madison Square Garden. It does seem like the guy was so good last year, seemed to make such a noticeable upward turn to kind of realize that talk about him, that it seems like it's just gone on too long for him not to make an impression. And I do wonder if maybe this is finally that event where, you know, like we said, the draw, I think overall the draw might be great for a lot of the top seeds here, and I think that potentially includes Dimitrov, you know, depending on how he plays.
Yeah, Dimitrov's an interesting case. He's had a couple bad results after losing to Ryan Harrison in Acapulco. He sort of felt like, is he going backwards? That's where he had kind of broken out last year, and this year he was really disappointing there. And now he could face in the second round, Nick Kyrgios. That would be an interesting match, an interesting sort of test for him for both of those guys as to where they stand and whether Dimitrov is, you know, is he still the young guy to bet on? Not that he's that young anymore, but yeah, he's going through an interesting time right now. It sort of feels like he could go either way, trajectory wise.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic match if that one comes to pass, of course. So, you know, the quarter opposing that, the fourth quarter, this is where the Swiss Davis Cup team decided to hang out instead of playing their first round tie. The quick defense of the Davis Cup for Switzerland over. That is because, of course, Roger Federer, Stan Wawrinka passing on the competition this year. So they're both put into this fourth quarter here as the 2 and the 7 seeds. You know, for each of them, I almost wonder if Stan is potentially the more interesting case to follow from. I thought overall, you know, Stan has had, both these guys really have had nice starts to the year. You know, Stan coming into Australia this year, I think, you know, a lot more eyes have been put on him because of his defense at the time. I didn't think he handled it poorly by any means, and he's since went on to win, you know, a good tournament in Rotterdam, and we know what Federer's done. He just beat Djokovic here, so this is, you know, there's some landmines along the way. You know, Karlovic is certainly one, Thomas Berdych another one, but you know, the two Swiss players that we didn't get to see last week, we could see a lot of them this week.
Yeah, Federer and Wawrinka, they both had good years, but it kind of shows you how much the Grand Slams overshadow everything else, in that it doesn't, you wouldn't necessarily think they've had a great start overall. Federer lost early in Australia, and Wawrinka, even though he's had a good start to the season and he made the semis in Australia, having won the tournament the year before, that meant his ranking fell all the way to set number 7. So, but I think they've been steady. They played in the later rounds here at this tournament in the past. I think Federer's draw is interesting, that he could play Janowicz in his first match and possibly Seppi again in his second match. Also in this quarter is Tomas Berdych, who's also had a good year. So you know, there's no guarantee those two guys are going to both of the Swiss are going to make the quarters at this point.
Yep, the Federer-Seppi match is you know, certainly a rematch to consider. You know, otherwise, like I said, Burdich, Karlovic, the millionaire matchmaker, Sam Querrey, potentially in the way for those two. To the top half we go. We'll turn things around to the top of the draw. Mr. Djokovic, of course, in his perch at number one atop there, could certainly get the classic Indian Wells night match with Baghdatis to kick things off there. Looking a little bit, you know, further down, you know, guys he's handled, of course, many times. Viktor Troitsky, a guy he knows very well, but I'm sure he would actually love to play. He's been such a vocal defender of him throughout what he's gone through. Another Serb, actually, Lajovic in his quarter. John Isner, Kevin Anderson there as well, in that Djokovic section of his quarter. So big players, you know, no one he hasn't, you know, for the most part handled well. You could say that for almost anybody, but, you know, down the line, though, we see as well the, and we'll get to this after, is really the return of Marin Cilic, who gets a number 10 seed, of course, the U.S. Open champion, who we seem like we haven't seen in a year, but he'll be back at this as well, and also David Ferrer, who's actually probably the hottest player on tour, so... maybe your thoughts on this section.
It's kind of a standard draw for Djokovic. First seed he might face is Beneteau. Isner is an interesting case. Isner beat him here a few years ago, and they went three sets last year. Right now, I don't know if I see Isner, after his loss in the Davis Cup, getting past Kevin Anderson in the third round. Cilic will just be making a comeback. I think Bernard Tomic could do some damage. He had a good weekend of Davis Cup, and he could play Ferrer in the second round. And of course, Ferrer himself, he's had one of the best years of anyone. Well, you know, he hasn't traditionally done that well at this tournament, and he'd be stepping up, you know, into a Masters level. He's done well at the smaller tournaments so far. So that's an interesting third round Tomic, possible third round Tomic Ferrer.
Yeah, we've talked about Ferrer and perhaps really wanting to see what March brings for him here. He's been close at events like this before. He, you know, had championship point in Miami a couple of years back against Murray. Didn't do it. That would have obviously been the biggest title of his career. I think for Ferrer, there's quite a bit at stake at this event to, you know, really kind of sustain that going into, you know, the clay, where, you know, he'll obviously be likely to pile up some more wins there too. So, and I can't agree with you more about Isner. That's just, you know, another... it's another head scratcher of a loss, but it's almost, you almost can't be surprised really with it much longer. But it's a three set format here, and that's one thing that I do, you know, guy like Isner, guys like Anderson are, you know, good examples. Really, almost all the big power hitters, you know, this is, you know, in the best of three set format. Though I think that gives those guys such a notable, you know, not advantage, but another chance really against, you know, players like Djokovic, possibly even Ferrer, that over best of five sets, you almost guarantee a defeat. But, you know, that's the one thing I think to watch out for in an event like this, and, you know, on hard courts as well. And, yeah. And so, you know, with that said, the, you know, the last quarter of the draw that we haven't got to yet, this is, you know, where number four Murray is. And we're number five, Nishikori. As I think we'll get to the rest of the draw in a bit, but, you know, Murray and Nishikori knocking up on the top four as well. I think he actually was there, you know, pretty recently too. So, you know, Murray, Nishikori, this, you know, pound for pound, this could actually be one of the stronger quarters of them all here.
Yeah, Murray, Nishikori, you know, they've had good matches. Murray, you know, he's won most of those, but Nishikori, I feel like he's had the stronger overall season, whereas Murray was big, you know, is better at the Australian Open and has been a little more up and down. Murray's had taken some early losses here in the past, so I don't know if I wouldn't necessarily be surprised to see that happen again. He could play Vasek Pospisil in his first match.
Yeah, that jumps out at me as a potential danger one. Yep.
Ernest Gulbis is in this. He hasn't had a good year so far, but he's done well at this tournament in the past. Likes these courts, likes the place. And one other match to look for in the opening round, Marty Fish, who's making a comeback after a couple of years away, will play Ryan Harrison, a U.S. wild card in the first round, and the winner of that would play Nishikori.
Yeah, that's a good one to note there. And like you said, the winner gets a pretty tough one going on right there. You know, like I said, you know, about this event, it's surprising to see, you know, players like Cuevas, Verdasco at this point in his career, Cole Schreiber getting buys and into that, you know, the second round. Really, it's a pretty, you know, for this tournament overall, maybe we'll kind of close on this, but you know, this in Miami, they are, as you said in their last podcast, they're really 2 week events in name only. It's a very, very sleepy first couple days. I feel like even the weekend potentially that's going to be a little different this year at Indian Wells, of course, on the women's side with Serena, as we talked about. But what this does is, you know, unlike the slams, you're going to get in the week two, you know, it's pretty much day after day. You know, the rounds, you know, they go a little quicker, and it's kind of a relentless one after another. There'll be some really good matches week two, but I think, you know, you get through a couple of you know, lighter early round days potentially.
Yeah, there's a lot of buys in here in Miami. I feel like too many, 32 buys here. It kind of protects those middle level players in the 16 to 32 range. They automatically get into the second round. They win a couple of matches and they've got a lot of ranking points on people. I feel like it's harder for, you know, it makes it a little easier to keep your ranking where it is when these kind of tournaments have this kind of draw. They want to extend the event as long as possible, but it does get off to a very slow start with not a lot of interesting, you know, with 32 players taken out of the first round, there's not a lot of marquee value still left there in this first week.
Yep. Yeah. So we will catch up on that as I think we'll catch up on Monday on both of these draws in advance if you're heading out there, and we'll see how things have transpired. If in fact, you know, an early, you know, early upset, there's always one or two, so we'll see who you know, who that happens to this weekend. We'll catch up next time Monday on the tennis.com podcast. For Steve Tigner, this is Evan.
You've been enjoying the tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to tennis.com.